It is good to be here because not only has God commanded us that we should assemble, not that our assembly has become a boring process. I know already what the pastor's going to say. I know already that he's going to drum me down about righteousness, obedience, and fervency in spirit. I know already that he's going to tell me that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible told me so. Well, then your worship, if that is your frame of mind and attitude, your worship has become robotic. That means that you've become like a robot. That means that you come to church week after week. You've become some dried up, some kind of piece of stuff that God will never be able to use. Do not ever let it be said that your religion has become robotic. No, I don't come here because it's my role to come and preach every Sunday. I come here because there is an inner compulsion. I would be here if I weren't on the platform preaching. I would be here to listen to the engrafted word, to let it become engrafted in my heart. I am here because God has a message from heaven for me to cause me to live like his child from this day forward until he comes to take me from the planet. And if he doesn't come to take me in death, he's coming to take me and resurrect me in life. And what I come to church to get every week is ammunition to give me power to live an effective Christian life for my Christ. That's why I come to church. And for God's sake, I hope that's why you're here. Now, for the sinner, I hope, I pray to Christ that you would allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart this morning. Sinner, you are taking too many chances with your life. You are taking too many chances with salvation just going on by you. Don't you think, sinner man, sinner woman, boy or girl, that you are promised heaven because you are sitting in this room with a group of people called believers. You have got to become identified thoroughly with Jesus Christ through the process of the new birth. This morning in our lesson, in our scripture lesson, we will be speaking about a man that Christianity has been speaking about from the foundation of the Christian church. A man called Stephen, a young man who became, the Bible tells me, the first one that laid his life on the line for Jesus Christ, who died for a testimony in Jesus Christ. In preparing for this sermon, I look back at that wonderful Sunday afternoon when we went over to the Amos CME Church and we brought that message to their Men's Day presentation for their brotherhood about Stephen and his evangelical outreach, and I never tire of preaching about Stephen. But since it is the month of June, a month that a lot of us look to in our normal society here for graduation, I felt it important to address some of our young Christians as well as our non-Christians in terms of that happy day called graduation. First of all, if you've graduated, it is the Lord that has brought you through. You might say, no, Pastor, my parents brought me through. They're the ones that got me up and sent me to school every morning and had breakfast there before me and made sure that I got a proper education. I'm telling you, it's the Lord that brought you through. Your parents weren't sitting there with you in that classroom when it came time to take that test. I couldn't sit next to you and give you the right answers. It was the Lord if you studied and applied. And my daughter, and you know I'm happy to say this, my daughter will be graduating this June from University High. We also have Andrea that's graduated from high school, getting ready to go on into college. Well, so we have two graduates. We may have someone here graduating from grade school, going to junior high school. Someone moving on from junior high to senior high. And as I've already addressed, someone from senior high to college. And then we may even have that quirk of nature. Listen to this, you all. That person that's graduating from college and is going to get a job, go to work out there, start making money, start putting him or herself into the process of what it means to graduate. Well, we have in our text here this morning a young man that truly graduated. Stephen, one of the first seven deacons in the early church. Stephen, it tells me in verse 8 of our text, he was a man that was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen, a man that got his lesson well. That's why I've asked you already to read Acts chapter 7 when you go home tonight. We're going to look into a little bit of his lesson that he got, but I want you to really read his graduation thesis speech. Stephen gave a graduation speech. And when he got through giving, Christian, listen to me. When he got through giving his graduation speech, he moved his audience. They were moved. Now, many of us this June, we are going to go to many graduations. I've received, along with my family, invitations in the mail already. My son is graduating. We welcome you to come to the graduation. My daughter is graduating here. We welcome you to come. And there is always that they have that top-notch student, that student that they choose to give the graduation speech. And when that student gives that graduation speech, things happen. And so you see, some of us are going to be involved in that graduation process. What happens when we go to a graduation? We go there, and there's a large crowd of people, and I'm anticipating this on the 17th of this month. There's a large crowd of people sitting around. Usually the president of the school or the principal of the school gives a speech, and then they get that straight-A student, the one that the whole class is proud of, that one student that the counselor said, you've gotten straight A's in everything, you have a 4.5 grade point average, you've been accepted by USC, UCLA, Stanford, Loyola, Marymount, everybody wants you. We want you to stand up before this great crowd and give the graduation speech. What happens when that student comes up? They give a large introduction and the crowd becomes hushed. As the student stands up, the whole graduating class stands up and applauds the student. The student gets there, and if they're really swift, they won't take out about 4 or 5 sheets of paper and read it, because if they're really 4.0 grade point average, that stuff is in here. It's in their head. They may have an outline on a couple of cards, and when they begin to speak, everyone in that room is zeroing in on that particular graduation speech. Now what I want to do is I want to take you back 2,000 years. This Stephen had become a deacon in the first century church. Powerful young man. He got his start in the church and got started in confusion. Stephen, the name has a Greek connotation, meaning that he was a man of both worlds, a Jewish world with a Greek background. And isn't that interesting? Because the first century church was having tremendous problems. There were some, not fights, but quarrels within the first century church, because some of the widows were saying that, well, we were looked over, you were giving the Jewish widows preferential preference over us that are not Jews. And so what did the preachers do? The apostles said, we don't have time to get involved in this kind of material. We're too busy preaching the word of God. So church, and note this, he said, church, you look out amongst you some men of good report, sound in the faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and you let these men that have graduated, take care of that business. Stephen was one of these men, and he did a powerful, powerful job. Now, what had happened, unfortunately, there in Jerusalem, in his zeal, in his finishing up, let's put it this way, his final papers, in him covering all of the points, and so that he could stack up his unit for this great coronation, this graduation speech, he made a lot of his contemporaries a little anxious. Because what he did as he went from, let's put it this way, brethren, library to do research for his thesis paper, he sought to upset the professors in the community. You see, what he started talking about, listen to me, you graduates here, listen to me. What he started talking about was the pertinent issues of life instead of the level of religion. And so we see in our text here in our scriptures that a few people were highly upset. And there arose certain in the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and those of Sicily and Asia, disputing. They started to dispute with Stephen. They said, wait a minute, brother. You're heavy, but not that heavy. They arrested the man. And when they arrested him, he gave his graduation speech. And that graduation speech is one of the fondest graduation speeches that you will ever be able to read in the whole of the New Testament scriptures. Let's look at this speech. And let's look at it in this sense. When you go to a regular graduation, the speaker is always speaking about the hopes of the future, the hopes of the graduating class, the promise that the future holds for those of us that are going on in life. If you're graduating from one grade to another, if you've been promoted, I want to tell you youngsters, and all of you youngsters that are in school, if you left the eighth grade and go into the ninth one, let me tell you something right now. They're going to put more of a challenge on you in that higher grade than they did in that lesser grade. Now, and then if you're going from junior high to high school, you better listen very well to me. The challenge that you are faced with in high school, you will not be able to even weigh that against the challenge that you had in junior high school. The challenge is greater. And those of you that are lucky enough to go on to college now, you thought high school was difficult. When you go into college, it's up to you. You don't even have to go to class in college. You can sign up for the class and show up one time in the semester. The teacher isn't going to call you. They aren't going to call and say, Brother and Sister Smith, young Mr. Smith didn't show up to school. No. No. When you go into college, it's up to you to make it. Your parents can't do it for you. You've got to be more disciplined as you graduate. Now let's look back to Stephen here. He had become a deacon. He had a role in the church. But he understood that there was something for him to do. He had to graduate. He had to become more committed. So, Stephen did not speak of a hopeless world. He did not speak of a hopeless human condition. He spoke in positives and affirmatives, and all of the whole of chapter 7 of Acts, especially you young people, I want you to read that. When you read chapter 7 of Acts, you find that Stephen knew and got his lesson very, very well. And that's what we're going to talk about. Stephen, number one, if you're outlining, Stephen, number one, was schooled with honors. Yeah, that's right. He was an honor graduate. The man was schooled with honors, and we can see that very clear in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Schooled with honors. If you're a Christian, you need to be just like Stephen, full of faith. Listen to me, young person, especially those of you that say that you're Christians. Your faith should be beyond question. When you say that you're a Christian, you should be just like Stephen, a man that is full of faith. Now let me talk a little bit about the first century church and first century Christianity. The Lord had never intended for the message of Jesus to remain bottled up. His whole intention was that that message for the Lord Jesus Christ was to be what? Spread. By every member of the body. If you have truly graduated, and I believe that every Christian has received his BA degree, and we know what that BA degree is, right? I have been born again. So therefore, if you've received your BA degree, your born again degree, you have graduated. Now, God is waiting on you now to give your graduation speech. You are to give that graduation speech to the audience of the waiting world that is looking at you and looking for a true testimony of what Christianity is. I'm going to give you an example of what true testimony of Christianity is not. It is not
I know I may be stepping on toes this morning when I say this, Lena May.
It is not Richard Roberts down at Charles Blake's church this afternoon. That is not a true testimony of Christianity. Whoa, John, how can you say that Jesus has never been engaged in TV shows? No, he hasn't. You see, Stephen wasn't in the show. There was no camera here. There was no one recording his thesis. There was no one recording or documenting that his brains got knocked out for Jesus. It's not a show. True testimony is not, a true testimony of Christianity is not, listen to me very close, a pastor taking his church to a show on Crenshaw. You better listen to me. You know what every Christian should do? Every Christian should become like Stephen if they've really received their BA degree. I am born again. I proclaim nothing but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm like Stephen and full of faith and not full of sensationalism. If you're looking for sensationalism, go down there at 3 o'clock. You'll see a lot of it. Sensationalism. The man's going to come out and say something good is going to happen to you. Yes, he's going to bedazzle you with his brain power. I want to see Holy Spirit power in your life. Number one, I don't have time to go and see a show. I have time to be about my Father's business, working on my graduation thesis here. This is what Stephen did. He didn't stand before the mighty Sanhedrin for a show. If you want to see a show, you go down there on Crenshaw. Believe me, you're going to see a show. You're going to see a show. And they're going to videotape that show and sell you the tape for $35. You can see the show. I wouldn't waste my time on it. Look at Stephen. He was full of faith. He wasn't full of the world's wisdom. Usually when we look at our graduates, they always talk about the wisdom of the world. Youngsters, listen to me. There will never be more greater wisdom than the wisdom of God in your life to call a shot a shot. I was listening to a fine Christian radio station this week, and they were discussing this ridiculous situation of Jim and Tammy. And most of the Christians that called in were very, very conservative like myself. And they were saying, in essence, that is not a representation of biblical Christianity. That is not a representation of a man being full of faith and power. I mentioned to our Sunday school teachers here Thursday that when a man repents, he tells you everything. He goes before that same news media that these so-called Christians hate. See, I don't hate the news media. When your life is pure, listen to me. If Jesus was a contemporary of yourself and ABC News came to Jesus, he would speak truth. He wouldn't say woe unto you news media. He would know that the heart of man is going to quote it wrong anyhow if it's righteousness. But no preacher, no Christian hides anything. He comes out with truth. I'll tell you who I was with, when I was with them, who else was with me, who put me up to it, what the outcome was. This is it. I need to be blasted from the church. I am a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. How dare myself get involved in ministry? Has this charlatan done that?
Yes. You see, I'm preaching about it. I'm telling you what a true representation of Christianity is.
Stephen made his graduation speech in that way, and they killed him. And in 1987, when you tell the truth on a bullwinkle preacher, they will want to kill you too. Because the world loves popularity other than the truth. That's why this man passed his graduation thesis. It also says in verse 8 that the man was full of power. There's not enough power behind the pulpit. There is wishy-washy, sometimey, I don't want to rock the boat Christianity. I don't only want to rock the boat, I want to sink it if it's a sinful ship. I do not want it to come to the shores or the door of the church. I want to sink it, but I want to throw a life raft to those that are on the sinking ship. And that life raft is Jesus Christ. And I'll say, his word is in the Bible. He will float you to the surface. You see, a lot of Christians are like this. Not only do I disagree with the Tim and Jimmy Tammy situation, I want to thank them. No, I don't want them, son. I want to see a true acquisition of what repentance is. I haven't seen it, nor have you. But if you sympathize with a sinner, friend of mine, listen and listen good. You are a sinner. Listen, the world will love its own. And if you love Jesus, you are going to say what Jesus would say. If Jesus walked on the scene right now in so-called religion, Jesus would vomit. It would literally turn his stomach. How dare you call that Christianity when none of you are putting your lives on the line like a man who gave his graduation thesis. Amen. The man was full of power. He wasn't full of celebration champagne. Oh yes, when the world celebrates and graduates, the champagne is flowing. Listen to me, graduates. You don't need to get drunk on booze. You need to get drunk in Jesus. What you talking about, brother? You need to be full of power in Jesus, and so that once you graduate and take what God has given you, that the waiting world can see what can also become a part of their existence. That's what God wants you to become a part of. Listen, instead of you getting involved in parties till dawn, when you graduate, you should be involved in one party, the party of righteousness, the party of holiness, the party of justification, the party of sanctification. I thought you said one party. That is. That's all one thing. In Christ, you are all of that. And it also tells me in verse 8 that he was full of wisdom, not conceit. How many of you, now you think back, to your graduation speech. You think back to your heyday when you made it, when you were called to speak. And you got up there and you gave those beautiful words and so the people could look at you. When you read chapter 7 in the book of Acts, you don't see Stephen saying anything about himself. He is giving the true thesis of what Christ is all about. He was full of wisdom, not conceit, not pride. He wasn't haughty, lifted up in himself. Now, you may be sitting out there saying, well, Pastor Coleman, you just made a statement about another preacher. Aren't you haughty? Aren't you conceited? Aren't you lifted up? No, I'm not, brother. No, I'm not, sister. I preach truth. And that's what truth will do to you. If you are not of the truth will appear to be conceited. Very narrow. Jesus was the narrowest prophet that ever walked the streets of Jerusalem. He was the most narrow-minded preacher that ever existed. Jesus said, I am the way. You hear that? That's very narrow. Sister Blake, that is real narrow. Since he said, I am the way, he says, nobody else matters. That's real narrow. He said, no man, not even his mama, no man comes to God, how narrow was he, but by me. Amen. Now, I preach a narrow Christ, a narrow gospel, a narrow theology, and that's the way it's going to come across because it's just like Jesus. But some of these preachers, you go in there, and they're going to take you down the road to hell and preach a broad theology where anything and anybody can get on it. Listen to me. Wait. I was listening by mistake. I was listening to a tape. Sister Morning, you didn't know that you gave me this tape. She gave me this tape by way of accident. And I was listening to this tape, and this lady was saying that she was a member of a church, how the Lord had blessed her, and how the Lord had started her in ministry for single women, and how she, and I have this tape. Maybe when we have a home fellowship, I'll play it for you. It'll blow your mind. Talking about how the Lord is leading her to do this and that. The lady, Sister Queen, sounded at least like she was in her late 50s. She had been married in two or three bad relationships. She's down on men, and she said, I'm trying to get all the sisters. Don't worry about being married. Just be married to Jesus. And it all sounded so good. And Sister Stanley, before the tape was over on side two, blew my mind. The lady said, oh, no, I go out with a man, and we have relations from time to time, but God understands that I have those needs, too. I could have died. Goes to a big church here, huge church. Matter of fact, one of the largest black congregations in this city, calls itself a church, and was on the staff of ministry in that church, and I said, can you, to the other person, I said, can you believe this broad theology, broad, anything goes, right on tape. And I said, now, you know, I'd be ashamed to say that I was involved with. And, of course, if I ever hear any kind of broad theology like that from Olivet, I'd just say right up front, you're not saved. You insane. Because that is not what Christianity is about. You are insane. Out of your mind. You crazy. So don't have that broad theology here. No, no, no. Stephen wasn't like that. And so I'm not a haughty preacher. I'm not a conceited preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. And that's what gospel preachers do. They preach the gospel. And the gospel cuts. And it doesn't soothe you all the time because our natures by the conception are sinful. We're sinful on the inside. We need to be whipped and abused by the Holy Ghost. And so that we are made clean and thorough. Come on now to the second point. I said Stephen was schooled with honors in verse 8. Second point, Stephen produces his thesis in the form of a graduation speech. Now we see Stephen producing his thesis in the form of a graduation speech. He couldn't do it unless he was schooled in honors. Now if you have not applied verse 8 to your life, if you are not full of faith, that doesn't mean the faith that takes. I'm talking about the Christian faith that saves. I don't want a faith that's taking everything. It's mine in the name of Jesus. I claim it. You do. I want the kind of faith that saves me, that claimed me, that changes me, and directs me in the path of righteousness, not in the path of materialism. Let me say this also. Don't be beguiled by your material possessions in America. I want you to leave your mind, the focal point of your mind, for a few seconds and call yourself a Christian in Bangladesh. Could you be the sound Christian in Bangladesh today that you are here in Los Angeles? Most of us couldn't because you wouldn't have three squares, a Cadillac car, a nice wardrobe, deodorant, cosmetics, makeup, clothes. You wouldn't have that in Bangladesh. You'd have one garment to wear, maybe a bowl of rice. You'd probably halfway be starving to death with beef running all around you because they didn't believe in killing sacred cows over there. But if you're a Christian and try to kill one, they'd probably kill you. Could you be a Christian in Bangladesh? So you see, it's one thing to say, I'm saved, sanctified, and satisfied here when the bank account is good and everything, and you got the little teller card you can put in there and money flows out and you can get anything you want. Now, utilize that same Christianity in Africa somewhere, where famine is killing up believers right and left. Could you pray with no more food but just a little biscuit and give it to your child and say, now, Lord, let us die, or would you claim deliverance? I claim it in the name of who? Christians are dying in Africa right now. So don't get locked into your materialism here. There may come a day in this fine country when we may all be trying to grab for a biscuit. I want to see you then claiming it. I want to see you living and dying for Jesus. I said that Stephen produced his thesis in the form of a graduation speech. He earned his degree or his diploma. Listen, and he tells what he learned in his graduation speech. Can they tell by your Christian life what you've learned from Christ? Can they tell by how you live what you've gotten from the gospel? Can they tell by you live from your theology, whether it be narrow or broad, whether you are really saved? Yeah, the world's going to be able to tell. They're going to be able to tell because you work with them, you live with them, you speak with them, and some of us are trying to date them, marry them, and everything else, and they're going to do nothing but pull you down. The power of God dwells in you. You better try to get with somebody else where the power of God dwells in you. I say so often, you have no business, especially you graduates, listen to me. See, sometimes when we graduate out of high school, we say, oh, now I'm near about grown. I can start living now. I mean, I can start really getting involved. You better watch that. You better watch that because more folks are messed up, are grown folks, than young folks. All messed up, but yet, they've graduated. I said, and listen, I include myself because I was once a non-Christian adult. I was messed up too. I made many wrong decisions, but with the Lord now, you don't make as many. Did you hear what I said? As many. See, you thought that I was going to come off as perfect Pastor John, didn't you? You don't make any. Oh, yes, you will. I've undoubtedly, since I've been preaching this message, I've made some errors in grammar. My wife can tell you that. She's always telling me, no, it's not that word, it's this word. I'm not a perfect preacher. I know that. Amen. And that's why I thank God for a lovely wife that's going to let me know when I goof up a word here and there. Amen, Lucy. Amen, John. All right. Let's go on. He gave a complete account to the Sanhedrin. He gave a religious history of all Judaism. Now I want you to follow with me quickly. I'm not going to go over all these verses. No, I'm not. You can mark this down if you want to. Stephen gave his graduation thesis in verses 2 through 4 in chapter 7. He spoke about Abraham's call. Yes, he did. In verses 5 through 9, he spoke about the history of Israel. This is all in the thesis. In verses 10 through 14, he spoke of Joseph's stay in Egypt when Joseph was sold into slavery. And by the way, tonight, if those of you Christians are bold enough, come back to church tonight at 7:30. What is the subject? The subject is 7 questions about temptation. I'm going to be talking about Joseph's temptation in Egypt and the 7 questions that he had to ask and the 7 questions that he asked and that brought him victory. So if any of you Christians are dealing and struggling and fighting and toiling with temptations, lust and desires and money and greed and anything else, come on back to church tonight. Oh, but I dare say it won't be too many here. I don't have problems with temptation, Pastor John. All my temptations, I got it all capped. All right, at that moment when you fail, you can know this now. But I got 7 questions that I want to bring you tonight that you've got to ask yourself with the Bible, and you can get those answers. See, we preach on Sunday nights, too. We don't close the building up every Sunday night. Also, what do we see in his thesis report here? We see in verses 5 through 9, a history of Israel. In verses 10 through 14, we see Joseph stay in Egypt. We see in verses 15 through 20, Jacob's lot while he's in Egypt. In verses 21 through 40, Moses' history. And the last thing we see is Israel's idolatry in verses 41 through 50. Stephen gave his graduation thesis in the whole chapter, and the Sanhedrin was there listening. Now, why did I say that? You too are going to have to give your graduation speech in your everyday experience. Some of our graduation speech is a wine bottle. Pastor, I didn't hear no amens. You won't. Some of our graduation speech is pride and conceit. Didn't hear too many amens, Brother Pastor. That's right. Some of our graduation speech is all wrapped up in what's for me and myself and to make me feel good. Oh, Brother Pastor, not too many amens. Yeah, that's what my thesis is all about. Stephen didn't say one word about himself, but they knew that he had earned his degree. And in your Christian life, it should be a testimony, not about you, but what Christ has done in you. I said, well, see, they should be able to look and say, oh, I know what she is. I know what that girl is. What is she? She's a mighty strange person. See, they're going to talk about you when you're a Christian. They're not going to say she's beautiful, she's articulate, she's moral. Listen to me, those of you that's graduated from one grade to another, and the higher grade you get into in school, the more sexual temptation you're going to be faced with. They're going to say to you, well, if you haven't had a relationship, well, she's a square. She's a mama's girl. She's old-fashioned, old-folkish. She hasn't experienced life. They tell me when you graduate from high school to college, my Lord, you high school students think you, hey, you wait, you go to college. You talk with some of these college grads in this room, they can tell you what you have to face in college. College, when you go away, when you really let your head down. I mean, mama's not around me. Daddy's not around. I can do what I want to do now. I mean, I can experience life like I never had before. All the girls are going to come around you, young men, and they're all going to be willing. All the fellas are going to be around you, young ladies, and they are willing and dealing and everything. But if you are a Christian, you've got to stand there and say, uh-uh, not me. They're going to laugh at you. They're not going to invite you to their drunken parties. Thank God I wouldn't want to go in the first place. If I'm a believer, I don't want to be around no pagans like that. And if I do go around them, I'm going witnessing. I'm going to say you're going to hell unless you repent. You're not going to be popular. You better listen to me. If you've gotten your graduation thesis, that's what Stephen did. He gave his graduation speech, and it brought another kind of consequence. But if you look into John, the Kappa and the Gauna and all the other sororities and the fraternities and all this stuff, and you want to be popular and you want to do what everybody wants you to do, you can do it. You can try to camouflage yourself in the world's mold. They'll put you on the podium, but when Pastor John comes to the graduation, and then I hear him talking about what you did all year. Oh, she was tough, man. She gave a party that you wouldn't believe. We didn't leave there till 4:30 in the morning, and everybody was high. What kind of a graduation speech is that? And then when you come back here and say, well, I was ministering in the Lord. That's the Lord who? Satan. You are not the Lord. Because when you really graduate and give your thesis right, they say, huh, yeah, she spoke at the graduation, but you know I never did like her. Look at the way she combs her hair. Look at that suit he has on. That thing is 2 years old. No, we don't want him to be a part of us. He's a square. He ain't never got nothing good to say about us. He's always talking about some Lord, man. Who is this dude anyhow? When you do a right kind of thesis paper, that's what they're going to say about you. Christian, you better pay attention. Stephen earned his degrees. Now, part three of this sermon is to the graduates. If you're outlining, this is to the graduates. And it is my premise in saying that all of us have graduated. Every one of us in this room have graduated, either in certain rules and planes in your life, from one particular plateau to the next, in terms of grades and in terms of spirituality also. Those of us who have gradually progressed onward, we, all of us, are to evaluate our spiritual progress. I joined church. I thought I was something, and I was nothing. You know what your grade is? Fail, the big F. You didn't pass. Oh, you marched. You marched. You gowned up. You kept up. But you didn't earn your degree. I've been functioning in the church and been doing it 20, 25 years, and they can always depend on me, but you've always hated that other brother. You just detested, you hated his guts. You marched. You kept up, you gowned up. But you didn't get your degree. You didn't get your degree. You know what they did? They said, dear sir, we are sorry to say you didn't have enough units. Come back and do your first work over. That's what God would say. Come back and do it all over. Take another look at the program. Then let's see if you can finish your thesis statement. As Abraham, now let's look at this. As Stephen could speak about Abraham's call, can you talk about the call of God in your life? Well, John, no. Well, then you cannot give the graduation speech. You've got to be able to talk about the call of God in your life. He lifted me up out of sin and put me on a higher plane of his righteousness. All that I am all of that in Jesus. The church you go to, church doesn't matter. If that church didn't exist, I would be what I am through Christ. How about your dynamic pastor? If he dropped dead tonight, I would be what I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's look at the second part. As Israel had a history, what kind of a history do you have as a Christian? Do you have a history of being a gossip? Do you have a history of being always late, never on time? Do you have a history of being a complainer? Or do you have a history like, well, when you look at the history that Stephen gave of Israel, they were always falling behind. What is your Christian history all about? Is it a history of victory? Or is it a history of Christian defeat? Let's go to the next point. Like Joseph, would you like your life story to be told on videotape? Oh, no, John. You've graduated? You mean to tell me you have given your graduated speech and you don't want them to see what you really are behind closed doors? Listen to this. This pastor doesn't mind anybody seeing what I do behind closed doors. Now, I'm not talking about at a weak moment when I should be praising God and I'm having a pity party. But I'm talking about there should be nothing hid and concealed that is questionable in your life as a Christian. If it is, you are not going to pass the graduation thesis. And I'm telling you, you know who the chancellor at arms is, don't you? He's Jesus. He's the one that's outlaid, that's outlined the whole curriculum there. He has it all out there said before. And you can't bulldoze in. As Jacob grew up in Egypt, and we read that in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen gives his history of how Jacob grew to become a large nation, those 12 sons, I got a good question for you, graduate. How are you growing? Are you really that concerned about the youth in this church? Are you still praying for them? Are you still looking for opportunities instead of stacking your own self to help stack young lives and lead them to Christ? Are you looking for ways to bend over backwards to try to reach that? How are you growing? To try to reach that drunk, that homosexual, that sinful person that you never be seen with? Are you really doing that? Are you so selfish that you can't spend a dime or any time with anybody to share Christ? Like Joseph, what is your life story all about? Like Jacob, how are you growing up? And also, as Israel was full of idolatry, are you full of idolatrous leanings? Listen. If you have truly graduated in Christ, all of these things that I spoke about are going to be constant examples of what your life is. If it isn't, you can repent where you're set. Fourth and lastly, and this happens at the end of each graduation speech. Fourth and lastly, the presentation of degrees. Now, my daughter tells me, oh, Daddy, there's going to be over 700 of us. Oh, God. You know what that means? That means, Brother Morning, that if they call Darius' name second, we couldn't get up and leave. Because, see, they aren't going to allow any, is that right, Darius? They're not going to allow any student to leave until everybody's name is called. So when there is a presentation of degrees here, we all have to sit there and watch every graduate march across the podium, shake the president's hand, and get that little piece of paper, which isn't anything, because they don't even have your degree printed up. But isn't this a wonderful thing? In our biblical text this morning, Stephen recognized his degree and even saw the person that gave it to him. Isn't that wonderful? But let's look at this. The presentation of degrees are a proud moment for the graduate. That's the moment that the graduate is waiting on. Give me my certificate that I have met the criterion of the standard which the system has put before me. Christian, listen to me and listen like you've never listened before. If you have not earned your degree through the new birth experience, when the great white throne judgment takes place, and you're thinking now that when Gabriel blows that trumpet and the dead in Christ is going to get up and you're going to be right there with the dead in Christ and the other believers, you might have a great surprise in for you. Everybody talks about heaven ain't going there. That's what the old Negro spiritual says. Everybody talking about Jesus is not going to be walking with him. Now, I've given some acquisition to that in speaking about preachers that are no good. Every preacher that stands behind the pulpit is not going to God's heaven. He can have 4 PhDs in theology. He can speak with articulation. He can drive beautiful Rolls Royces, Cadillac cars, have people coming in and out of his ears in his church. And when Jesus comes, Jesus will say, you, preacher. That's right. No, not them. Not the wino, not the drunk. See, they repented. Not the homosexual. They repented. Not the whoremonger. They repented. You, preacher, depart from me. I never knew you. Won't that be a sad thing? And wouldn't it be the saddest thing for a whole church in the great white throne judgment to see their spiritual leader condemned to hell? Where does that leave the church? Well, if he didn't make it, and what he taught us didn't make it, Jesus will also say to you, now you, church member, you depart from me, because when that preacher, get this, on Jefferson preached to you, and you heard it, instead of you loving it, you despised it, now you also depart with your pastor. A sad situation. See, that's going to happen. A lot of people following non-Christian leaders. Like I told that young man last week, investigate the religion from outside instead of from inside. When you're too close involved in a cult, you can't look at yourself. Now, if you don't believe me, a lot of our skeptics of conservative Christianity have to analyze all of its conservatism from the outside. Let me take a look at Pastor Coleman from outside of it. Then you make your determination whether I'm true or false, with the Bible as the Word of God. And most of the time you never hear from these skeptics or these critics, because the Bible will condemn them. And sometimes when you're involved in a cult, you've got to get out of it to look at it and say, now let me look at it from Jesus' perspective. What would the Lord say? He'd say, depart from me. What am I doing there? You better get out. You better get out. The eyes of the recipient seek the dean of students. Isn't that what happens when there's a presentation of degrees? When they call your name, Joe or Susie Doak, you look at the president as he has his hands out. You stand on your feet, a big smile comes on your face. Your mom and daddy are running, tripping over everybody with the camera, flash going off and everything. They're trying to film you and they're filming everybody. When they call your name, all your uncles, your grandma, everybody gets up. You never seen so many video cameras in your life. Zip, 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 lights going, and you grinning, trying to walk right, tripping all over everything. Funniest thing you ever want to see at a graduation. Joe or Susie Doak, you get up, oh, that's me, tripping over all the students, knocking off caps and rustling up gowns, trying to get there to get that presentation of the degree. Well, now let me bring this back to the spiritual sense. You see, some of us are not going to be doing that because they know that when the degrees are presented, you haven't done the work to earn it. Now, you got to do the work of repentance now. You've got to, before Christ, like Stephen did, you've got to say, Lord, I'm yours all the way. Then when the presentation of degrees are given, you won't be ashamed. There's a difference between an earned degree and an unearned degree. A great difference. You see, when you get an unearned degree, that doesn't mean anything. It's just going through the motions. Some of us in church have unearned VAs. We are born again by the preacher. We are born again by the water in the baptism. We are born again by the church works. That's an unearned degree. You need an earned degree. You need to be born again. Stephen, when he was presented his degree, had earned it. Amen. In chapter 7, in the 56th verse, we read this. And said, look what Stephen says. See, Stephen is talking about who he got his degree from. He says, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Oh, what a joy. Stephen says, I see the president of the university standing up, calling me with my degree in his hand. The man earned his degree. He says, I know you didn't believe my thesis report. I know you didn't accept my papers in your universities of Judaism. I know that they would never be put in the stacks to be gone to for another reference. But I'm telling you that I see the man that is holding mine. Jesus stands to confer the honors on his child. The King of Glory welcomes his son, Stephen. Has he welcomed you? Yeah, he's welcomed me. Well, then act like it. Act like it. Give your graduation speech every single day of your life. And any day you're ashamed to give your graduation thesis, you're ashamed before God, and you can't say like Stephen, I see him standing up right now. Oh, how many church members are ashamed to say, thank you, Jesus, when they get the promotion. thank you, Lord, for giving me that 10%. Or instead you say, yeah, well, we have a good set of confers that's going to work on my raise. You better thank God Almighty. No, it's nothing like that. Some in the audience, when you go to a natural graduation, listen to me, they're going to shriek with envy. They're going to say, now this student got the highest honors. And you're going to hear them scream, ah! Well, they're not all screaming for joy. A lot of them are screaming with envy. Oh, I hate a gun. See, that's where people are. You see him? Oh, look at him. You know, I tried to date that old boy and he just signed me on. I hope he trips and falls on his face. That's where people are. They're just like that. You watch it. When you go to graduation, watch people's face around you when they call the big one up there. Especially if they're not black, brothers. See? Especially if they were, well, why'd they call him? He white. Well, he got the honor. Well, the brother got a 3.5. Yeah, but he didn't get a 4.0. Yeah, well, see, with that old white boy. Well, wait a minute. Same thing if they give the honors to a guy and not a woman. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, we've achieved now. What about the women? Why can't we get the honors? Well, she didn't achieve it. Why give her the honor? Because she's a female. She's got to earn it. You kids, remember, if you don't remember anything about this sermon, remember this. When your teacher gives you a grade, that's what you earn. The other students didn't earn it for you. Don't look at the other student and say, well, you got an A, why did I get a B? You didn't apply yourself. And if I was a student, I'd say, dummy, you didn't apply yourself. That's why. A was there. All right. Some of the audience will shriek within me. You don't believe me. Look at verse 57 of chapter 7. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears and ran on him and ran on him with one accord. Look what they did. When he said, the master is ready to give me my degree, I see him now. They said, oh, no. Put their hands to the ears and ran with him to knock him down. They would do it to you. They would do it to you when you give your graduation speech. They would try to scandalize your name. And I'm telling you, that's the way the world is. When you go for the A, the one with the B's are going to go wild with envy. When you go for the gold, they're going to want to give you the copper. They're not going to want to give you what's truthfully yours. But what you have to do is you have to take a stand for the Lord Jesus, and he will never let you down. For it tells me that as Stephen began to speak on the latter part of chapter 6, verse 15, it says, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on Stephen saw his faith at it had been the faith of an angel. In other words, the Lord made his whole countenance shine with purity. The brother had earned his degree, and the world saw it and just had to stop their ears up. That's the way it is. That's why when you talk about the sins of Jim and Tammy, the world is going to stop their ears up and try to shut you up. See? Because they like those kind of sinful heroes. Let's end this up. His speech exhorted his listeners to pay attention to their lives. What is your speech exhorting your hearers to do? Every time you witness, you talk, you testify for Christ, you should exhort people around you, the wrath of God is coming. And sinners are not going to want to hear that. They're going to want to hear you tell them, I'm good, I'm nice, I'm going to go to heaven anyhow because my mama is a missionary and my daddy is a preacher. You better tell them, I don't care if your daddy baptized 4,000 in one day, you would die and go to hell unless you know Jesus. His speech purpose, what it should have, conflict. Listen to me, Christian. Don't you dare sit here and listen to me and think that saying good words for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gender love for the world for you. It's going to gender conflict. We are going against the most treacherous enemy of the humankind. The soul is dead before God. And the soul that is made alive will speak against dead souls. Agenda conflict. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to pray before you witness, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will break that dead soul, and they'll come to you and say, brother, sister, what must I do? And you're going to tell them just like Peter, repent, believe, be baptized, let him fill you with this Holy Spirit, and then you become just like me. That's what the church is all about. And lastly, Stephen was chosen to give his graduation speech, and he instantly received a pay raise.
What?
I said he instantly received his first pay raise when he finished his graduation speech. They killed him. And he, that very same day, was there with Jesus. An instant pay raise. He had his degree conferred upon him, and he received his first paycheck. I'm telling you that heaven became his eternal home. Now, what am I asking you to do? I am not asking you to get out there and commit suicide. No, I am asking you to do exactly what Stephen did, not being concerned about the consequences of your evangelism. I am asking some of you for the first time to consider your role in this graduation speech. Have you given it?